building. There, in the side yard, he saw smashed corral fencing and a cloud of dust heading toward the dunes to the southwest. He could just make out the blonde figure amid the whirlwind, hanging on for dear life. Annalene appeared beside him. "Tell me it isn't." "Can't lie to you," Warren said, peering into the distance. "That would be your Callie, running off on a crazy dewback." "Snit!" Warren sighed and shrugged. "Well, you did tell her to go do something." Chapter 5. Ayak jabbed the knife again into the warrior's arm. Black streamed from the cut, fouling the young Tuscan's wrappings. The shrapnel was buried deep, too deep for Ayak to reach. The survivors of the raiding party had been glad to reach the pillars, a jagged cleave into the Jundland, where the settlers and their vehicles could not follow. But the wastes had taken offense at being used for cowardice, and the young Tuscan had paid. The injured warrior had evaded the settlers' gunfire, but not the accursed grenade they had thrown before leaving, and what it had done to the rock wall. The arm would grow diseased, the hand unusable. If something happened beyond that, the Tuscans never knew. It wasn't a thing worth knowing. Ayak gave the blade to the warrior and spoke the words. They were the words known to all of them, the words that separated a Tuscan from the other creatures that lived in the dust. "Whoever has two hands can hold a Gaderfi." The warrior stared at the weapon but did not question his duty. Another would take his bantha. The band could no longer afford to lose warrior and beast both. Ayak gave the warrior his solitude and made a mental note to send someone over for the body. The important work was with the others now. The morning's raid had been a risk, perhaps too great a risk when their numbers were so small. And yet, Ayak had been certain that it was necessary. The settlers had grown too bold. The Tuscans needed to be bolder. What remained of the clan now hid, like the coward sun among the pillars. Legend held that a giant had repeatedly struck the mountains with a dagger here. Some said it was the younger son himself, flailing against his brother. Whatever the explanation, the landscape was unreal. Natural stone columns and crumbling obelisks climbed to the sky, some topped by precariously perched boulders. A maze of narrow passageways crisscrossed among the towers. Some led to caverns, some led nowhere. A clearing amid the tall rocks provided enough room for a cramped campground around a sacred well. Banthas and sand people alike clumped in the craggy stomach of the Jundland. No one said anything as Ayak passed through the camp. The dozens who had remained here during the raid knew that many weaklings had fallen. There was no time to mourn the unworthiness of kin. Those names, those voices belonged to the past. The sand people had to survive today. The Tuscans had a word for tomorrow, but it was seldom used. What good would it be? Death rode behind the Tuscan as the shadows to the Bantha. The settlers seemed not to know that. Erecting shelters to protect their precious futures, the settlers became things fat and fleshy, no better than huts. Perhaps that was how the huts had come to be. Ayak had never really wondered about it, or much else. No, only today mattered. Each day's survival was a trophy that could be carried into the tales of the past. A stroke against the damnation cast upon them by the suns. It was a thing to be proud of. But who would tell the stories if all fell? At the well, the thirsty war leader dismissed the idle thoughts and pulled the rope. The noons were coming. Younglings needed feeding. Gaderfi point sharpening. And a new target would need to be chosen. Ayak would select it, as always. The container reached the top of the well. For the third time in as many days, it held only damp sand. Others had called it an ill omen. A Yark simply wanted to kill something. A cloth-bound youngling ran up and bleated a message from the watch. A Yark listened with rising anger. There was someone riding an animal through the dunes. Again. There had been other encroachments near the wastes recently. A Yark had even heard of a single hooded human riding a heavily laden Eope across the desert from east to west, untouched by the Tuscan scouts who espied him. A Yark had flown into a rage over that one. A settler might take a machine across the dunes, or attempt to, but this was the act of one whose wits were lost, or of a being so powerful he felt none could harm him. A Yark didn't care what the answer was. Such impudence should have been dealt with, no matter what their current state. The others hearing the youngling took up their weapons right away. Good, a Yark thought. Even after this morning, some spirit remained. But much needed doing here. They would stay while a Yark went to investigate and punish the intruder. And if they argued the point, someone else would lose an arm. This kill would belong to a Yark. Yah! Annalene yanked again at the reins. Vilas heard and rumbled forward, nimbly crawling over the rocky outcrop. He was over it in a few seconds. Another call from Annalene and he was off again, barreling across the floor of the dusty Bowl Valley. Kicks from a rider meant nothing to the dewback, whose brownish-red scales could protect it against any spur. But Vila seemed to understand where he was going and what he had to do. It was why Annalene had headed directly for him when she'd seen the busted fence. Her landspeeder would have been faster, but Callie and Snit had lit off in the direction of the Rumbles, a lightly rocky stretch known mostly for the turbulent ride it gave hovercraft. That was no problem, but it also made for more difficult tracking at speed. Vilas, on the other hand, knew right where to go, she hoped. That's the one, she said, picking out the right cloud from several dust devils in the distance. Vilas knew it too. She clung to him. Annalene hadn't ridden in 3 years, but it wasn't something she was likely to forget. Half the dewbacks in Bastine today had descended from Caleb Thaney's herd. She'd be working on her father's ranch still if the animals hadn't gotten the parch, a wasting disease that prevented their cells